Stop. Stop. Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Saturday night, it's the Hour of Truth. Here we are again. Hour of Truth is brought to you by Missouri Grassroots Coalition. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm here on Friday and Saturday nights. Lisa Payne Nager entertains you, enlightens you, and educates you on Wednesday nights with the show Culture Vigilante on Tuesday nights. Cynthia Davis presents Homefront. I'm here tonight, fresh from the inaugural presentation of Missouri's Freedom Talks. It was a good meeting. It was a smaller meeting than I had hoped and anticipated. 52 people were there by my count. This is a movement, a program that's, I hope, is finding its footing. As I say, this was the inaugural meeting. It was presented, sponsored in Springfield by the Missouri Republican Assembly. And I believe, if I'm right, that the majority of attendees were also members of the MRA. The meeting consisted of some presentations by former legislator Jim Lemke, current State House Representative Paul Kirtman, our friend with the State Repeal Amendment, Madison's Lost Amendment, Lloyd Sloan, and a fellow named Dave Linton, who talked about education and made some references to Common Core. There was an introduction of all the speakers by Shane Scholler, who, if you remember, we were strongly behind here in his run for Secretary of State. It was informative. I was fairly interested. And here is the one thing that, here is one of the things that impressed me about it. I don't know where I've ever been where you could sit in a room where Arthur Hodge, myself, Tom Martz, and Jonica Hope are in the same room and find themselves pretty much in agreement with what's going on. When I came to the meeting and realized that it was being hosted by the Missouri Republican Assembly, I kind of was dejected. I kind of imagined that we were just in for another Republican rally. We were not. It was a very cohesive presentation and not a divisive one. And that's why I named those four names, because there's certainly plenty between those four, plenty of room for divisive rhetoric. And I believe that this was a very, very inspiring and bringing together kind of meeting. We've talked for some time, some extended period of time on this particular program, which has become a program and will continue to be a program until this problem is fixed, about state sovereignty, about taking the nation back. And maybe without realizing it, this program, this Freedom Talks program, is about pointing people in the right direction and instilling some action. I'm not sure. I'm still not entirely sure. In fact, well, I'm still not entirely sure that everyone who was in the room today gets the whole state sovereignty issue and what that has to do with fixing the whole problem. In fact, I'm sure everyone in the room doesn't get it, because I've had this discussion with some of the people in the room, and some of them still don't get it. But here is, in a nutshell, a summary of everything we've talked about for the last 20 or 30 weeks. Winning America back is a two-step process. And you have to get both steps, and you have to make both steps work. When I say you have to get, I say you have to understand. You have to understand both parts of the process. And then you have to work hard to make both parts of the process work. It's like this. The federal government is not a government of, by, and for the people. The federal government is a government of, by, and for the states. It is a compact, a cooperative between the states. It has little or nothing to do with the individual people. That is why the states were very, very careful to keep the federal government in its box. Now, to make the federal government work, the states must maintain very jealously, and this is what the founders got in that meeting in Philadelphia, when they came together jealously representing the sovereignty of their own states. And recognizing at the same time that there needed to be some cooperative of those states to make the entire thing work, to keep the continent that was North America from erupting into centuries, if it even lasted that long, of war such as you see between the sovereign countries of Europe. This specific thing was mentioned several times during the ratification process and the debates that ensued. They feared loss of their state sovereignty, and at the same time, they saw that 13 sovereign countries existing in such close proximity were going to give you just another version of European warfare. And so they formed this compact. Now, to make this compact work, the states have to jealously guard their own sovereignty. To make state sovereignty work, this is the key that most people don't get. To make state sovereignty work, you have to understand what the state government is all about. Now, unlike the federal government, In the mind of the founders, the state government was a compact between the governed and the government. It was, in fact, a compact between the individual people and their government. The state is the level where everything occurs at the consent of the governed. Well, the federal government is such too. The federal government also exists at the consent of the governed, but you've got to understand the original architecture to understand what that means. The governed, in the federal sense, is the states, and the states are governed specifically by those limited powers enumerated to the cooperative of states by the individual and sovereign states. Now, that's a quick review of what we've done for the last 20 or 30 weeks here. I want to talk to you about how that came into this Freedom Talks we had today. We started out with Lemke, who began by saying that what we have to do is recognize that 90% of the people in government, including Republicans, don't understand the proper function of government. He went on to say that what we need to do is elect the right Republicans. And for someone who is, as Lemke is wont to do, out to, quote-unquote, save the Republican Party, this is a legitimate stand. I admire him. I admire Republicans like my good friend Lisa Nager, and my good friend Terry Varner, and Jim Lemke, who think highly enough of their own party to be out to save it. Now, it's no secret that I think they're fighting a lost cause. I believe the Republican Party to be finished, but that doesn't mean if you love the Republican Party that you don't keep fighting and keep trying to make that happen. My problem with this 90% of all the Republicans don't understand the proper function of government is that of those who nod their heads in the right direction when this is said, even of those who stand on the pulpit and preach this, 90% of them are involved in right to work, or banning abortions, or prayer in schools, or some of these other things. So what most of them mean when they say this isn't, you just don't understand the proper function of government. It's that you don't understand my definition of the proper function of government. And that brings us round to this vision they have that somehow or another the government is a tool of God. Now, Lemke did say something that really startled me in his talk. It's something that I said what seems like 100 years ago. I've blogged about this very subject. I've written about this very subject. I've preached about this very subject. And that is, no rights are granted to you by the Constitution. All the Constitution does is protect your rights from the government. And that's profound and kind of coming that early in the program kind of kept me awake and there. I want to move on a little bit to the second speaker, Paul Kurtman. Kurtman is a representative in Jefferson City now, one of the best. Lemke was one of the best. I don't ever want anyone to listen to this and believe that I am not a fan of Lemke and of Kurtman. I certainly am. Kurtman's speech was, presentation was quite profound, and it was about economics and economic freedom. Kurtman talked a little bit over the crowd's head, and that needs to be corrected as this group goes forward. But it was a very, very, very good presentation. He was politicking against. I mean, it was a campaign speech. He wanted to talk specifically about tax incentives and even more specifically about transferable tax incentives. But he started off by making some very, very good points, and he'd ought to narrow his topic and expand the time that he talks about it specifically to what economic freedom is and how it plays into the bigger picture of both economics and overall liberty. He did say some things, again, that we've been preaching for years, and that hit home maybe with some people for the very first time. He talked a bit about how the income tax is inherently evil, because the money that I earn is not, in fact, just found money, but is in fact, money that I have sold a part of my life for. There are many other reasons why the income tax is inherently evil and inherently liberty-stealing, and we dealt with them in our long series on the fair tax. But this is really one of the cruxes of understanding the government's claim on basically parts of your life. Kurtman was profound in my mind. I bring these two up because this was the beauty of Freedom Talks in my mind. This first part of the program could very easily be wrapped up as part one of that grand architecture we're talking about. Now, understand that we know in the United States of America, as originally designed, as originally planned, that the sovereign is the individual. That sovereign individual, that's you and that's me, we consent to be governed by our state. So a function of government, in that sense, is whatever you and I decide it is on a day-to-day basis. As a group, as a state, we design, and listen, okay? When did the people, when the gentlemen met in Philadelphia, they didn't come there empty-handed. Each state already had a constitution, a compact, whatever they called it. It was the constitution of their state government. I say that now because I want you to understand that state constitutions predate the Constitution of the United States of America. They even, in fact, predate the Articles of Confederation, which was much like the compact that we call the Constitution of the United States, a cooperative between the states, not too workable, not too strong, not strong enough, and not workable enough, which is why we have the Constitution. But it was, and I say that because in the grand scheme of things, in the great architecture, state constitutions predated the interstate compact, the interstate cooperative. So you and I, we consent to be governed by our state. We own our state constitution. We can change our state constitution. We don't get to vote on the federal constitution because it's not between us and the government. It's between the state of Missouri and 49 other states. We do, however, get to vote on our state constitution. We get to vote on our state government. And we control our state government. I'm not going to belabor this point because we've talked endlessly hour on hour on hour in the last 20 or 30 weeks about how we control the state government, about how by working on the State House of Representatives, you and five or six other people doing hard work on 8 or 10 Saturday afternoons during the election cycle can change your state representative. It is that easy to close your eyes and envision how the state of Missouri is operating at the consent of the governor. Now, you can say, oh, yeah, but people don't care anymore. People don't vote anymore. That not voting is consenting. Not being involved is consenting. But this state government, the government of the state of Missouri, then, is what we trust. We trust to represent us more indirectly than our representative in Jefferson City. When it goes to the table with the 49 other states to form the compact of the federal government, that's why I say this is an important two-step process, because when we talk about convention of the states, one of the things we hear is, I don't trust my state legislature. Well, it is imperative if the whole big thing is going to come together for you first to have a state who you trust with your sovereignty. You entrust the state with your sovereignty. You are the sovereign. The individual is the sovereign. We consent to be governed by a state. We trust our state with our sovereignty. And then when we've got that right, then we trust our state to represent us at the table with the other 49. I mean, this sounds complex, but it really isn't, and it is imperative. It is imperative to get this two-step process. that makes state sovereignty so important. And the first part of this Freedom Talks was about that. Lemke and Kirkman were talking, in my mind, about the need to make this sovereign state government part of, not part of, totally about you, the sovereign individual. Now, this is the kind of thing that groups are working on. This is the kind of thing that Putnam's group, specifically MOPP, is working on, getting people to understand. You have a level of government that is directly representative of you. A level of government that where your representative should be someone who would know your name if he or she saw you in the supermarket. A level of government where the person who speaks for you should be someone who would recognize you if you dropped into the office. Knows, sees a picture of you in his or her mind when they read your email. This is the level of government where your own individual sovereignty is represented. And a function of that government, the only function of that government, is what you and I decide it is. This is so clear from the Federalist founders. Time and time and time again, the power of the state is unlimited. It's undefined. It's indefinite. The power of the federal government is very limited. What we need to do then is we need to concentrate on making sure that our state, virtually godlike in its power, virtually undefined in its power, is representative of us, the sovereign people. That, in my mind, is what the first part of Freedom Talks was all about. Because that is the first step in understanding the general architecture. I was inspired by both Lemke and Kirkman. Now, if it had stopped there, if this thing had been presented as a discussion in state sovereignty and how to get it, keep it honest, and maintain it, I'd have been very satisfied with Lemke and Kirkman. But it wasn't. Along comes step two, and that is, how do we use our sovereignty as expressed through the sovereignty of our state to govern the cooperative of states known as the federal government? At that point, Lloyd Sloan made a presentation. We could have had more there. He was given 12 minutes to talk about what I think is a very important idea, and that is the state repeal amendment. Now, we've talked. I'm not going to detail the state repeal amendment. We spent hours and hours and hours on that. But what I am going to say is that as Freedom Talks evolves, I certainly hope that more time is given to step two in the general architecture of the federal cooperative. And that is how the sovereign states control and manage their cooperative, their compact. We've talked about convention of the states here. We've talked about the state repeal amendment. We've talked about, once more, what I think are the top three amendments that need to come out of a convention of states, or better yet, come about because of Sloan's petition process. But Sloan had a lot to say and a little time to say it. That was that states are still the supreme power in the compact between the states. The federal government works for the states, not the other way around, blah, blah, blah. You've heard it all before. Now, in my mind, Freedom Talks, again, was a very bring-together sort of thing. I look forward to this. I'm going to go catch one farther down the line. I won't make every one. I won't make half of them. I don't get to travel around the as much as some of these guys do. I still work 40 hours a week and even mow my yard once in a while. But I'm going to make one of these things later, even if I have to drive a ways to do it, because I want to watch this thing evolve. This is, and when it comes to your area, I encourage you to make it. It was good. Lemke is a good speaker. Kurtman is a good speaker. I respect and value both of them. I could make some suggestions about other speakers who could be there talking about how to get our state straight. Because getting our state straight is so important to trusting our state to represent us at the federal level. But it is not all there is to getting it right. Getting our state straight is great. For example, let me just talk to you about something Kurtman said that basically, and I'm going to paraphrase here because it's basically something that we've been saying forever. He talked about MoDOT coming to us for a 1 cent sales tax to do something or another. I don't even remember what it is MoDOT wants to do with it. I've long since quit paying much attention. About the time that MoDOT spent $3 or $4 million on signs telling me that MoDOT cares, my only go is no more money for MoDOT. But here's what Kurtman said. The state coming to you for revenue is a legitimate ask. When the state needs revenue, they've nowhere else to get it but to come to you and ask for it. And it is legitimate and right that they should come to you and ask for it. Now, just as legitimate a question back to them when they come and ask for it is, what are you doing with the $26 million I already give you? What are you doing with the $26 million I already give you? That is the crux of the question when it comes to getting the state right. Before we worry about the federal government, I mean, everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon of state sovereignty, and I'm here two nights a week preaching about state sovereignty, so I get it. without a firm understanding of the fact that 50 sovereign states, as screwed up as the state of Missouri is a train wreck. 50 sovereign states, all as screwed up with how they use $26 million as the state of Missouri, is a train wreck. Now, I am all about state sovereignty. I am all about taking our state sovereignty back from the federal government. But 50 sovereign states in the condition that the 50 states are in now is going to be a disaster. So the first part of Freedom Talks is about getting the state right, because that is so important. So important. We've talked about that and talked about that and talked about that night after night after night. We talk about it when Keith Carmichael's here. We talk about it when Lloyd Sloan's here. We talk about it when Mike Moon's here. We talk about it when we talk with any guest about state sovereignty. We talk about how we need to fix the state. That doesn't mean that at the same time we're fixing the state, we don't position ourselves to stand up for the sovereignty of the state of Missouri. It's important, though, that Missouri stand up for the sovereignty of you, of the individual, and that we as a collective understand that state government is the government by the consent of the governed, that state government is sovereign in that when the people of the state of Missouri say something is right or wrong, then for the state of Missouri, it is right or wrong. You may or may not believe in legislating abortion. But when the people of the state of Missouri make a decision, you live with it. You fight to change it. You fight to fix it. You fight to make it your way. But you live, you consent to be governed by the state of Missouri. You know, I just halfway in a gag and halfway in seriousness, I tweeted something out today. I don't care how you feel about women's breasts. You know, I don't care. I happen to like them, you know. I happen to wish that good-looking women could walk around all day long with no shirts on. That'd be fine with me. Regardless of how you feel about that, there is a definition of indecent exposure with respect to female breasts. I don't happen to think that you get to say this display of female breasts is indecent and that display of female breasts is not indecent. It's either indecent or it's not. Now, go whichever way you want. I will live, it's indecent or it's not indecent, with what the people of the state of Missouri decide. My state will be sovereign in that decision. And I'll live with it. I don't happen to think that kids ought to pray in public school. Or I don't think kids had not ought to pray in public school. I don't happen to think that the public school ought to be used as a venue for prayer. Okay? But if the people of the state of Missouri decide that it should be, I'll live with that. Because I want to live in a state where the people decide what the law is. Now, the people do get together And they do form constitutions and compacts that say these are things the government can do, and these are the things the government can't do. And the people maintain ownership of that compact. They can change that compact. But outside that compact, the state of Missouri gets to make the rules. I've had this argument with good friends forever, about the power of the state government. Madison was clear. The power of the state government is indefinite. Collared and leashed only by the compact between us Missourians who say, this is our Constitution, this is what the government can and cannot do. You and I decide what is the proper function of government. There isn't a Webster-defined proper function of government. There isn't a Thomas Paine-defined proper function of government in a representative republic. The function of government at the state level is whatever you and I decide. You can't say telling people how fast they can drive down I-44 isn't a function of government. You can't say telling people they can or can't wear a gun is a proper function of government or is not a proper function of government. You cannot say that telling people they can't turn up their music at 2 o'clock in the morning is or isn't a proper function of government. You can't say that telling a woman she can or can't bear her breasts in public is not a proper function of government. It certainly is, provided the government understands that we decide, you and I, on a year-to-year, on a two-year basis, on a four-year basis, on a 10-year basis, on whatever we've decided basis, what the proper function of government is. We keep throwing around the term proper function of government as though it is something you could reach in a dictionary and find. It's not. It's not. Liberty and freedom, and this came out in today's meeting, liberty and freedom can only exist in an environment where we all understand that it is about personal responsibility. Now, what you may mean by that is, well, I get to decide that you don't get to be held personally responsible for whether or not your dog bites someone when you're out on an afternoon walk. So I don't mean that by personal responsibility. I only mean to the extent that I get to tell you your dog has to be on a leash, because you're not going to be allowed to be personally responsible for that. We're going to make some corporate responsibility for that. Well, okay. If we, the people of Missouri, I happen to hate that. You know, I got a good dog. I want to take him for a walk. I want him to be a dog. I want him to run through the woods and chase rabbits. But if we, the people, decide that is something that we're going to assume as the responsibility of the state government, if that is a proper function of government as decided by we, the people, well, then I'll live with it, because I want a solidly sovereign, representative state of Missouri. Now, you know, the first guy that comes along and tells me that if he's elected as a representative in the House of Representatives in Jefferson City, Missouri, he'll fight hard to undo all the leash laws, to make it illegal in the state of Missouri for any municipality to steal from me my right to let my dog go for a walk with me in the afternoon. Well, hell, I'll vote for him. I'll do what I can to change the rules. You do what you can to change the rules, and together we'll all decide on what the rules are for living in the civil society that we call the state of Missouri. This is where this thing should be headed, I hope. It was rough. It was clearly a rookie attempt. And when I say that, I'm not suggesting that anyone who is there is a rookie. I'm saying that this was clearly the first game of the season. Probably is a better way to say it. It was the first game of the season. And I'm hoping and praying that this thing evolves. I'm going to come back after the break with, for what it's worth, some of my constructive criticisms and suggestions for Freedom Talks, as it moves forward. This has the potential of being a really, really great thing, a real coming together. I believe it was Lemke who said, and I didn't take this particular thing down in my notes, that it's not good enough for us all to get together on Facebook and complain about the federal government and complain about the state government and complain about state sovereignty and complain about what's going on and complain about the $26 million budget that asks for more money. We have to get out. We have to widen the circle. We have to be talking about these things when we go to church and when we go to work and when we go have dinner with our friends. But I want to go back to something that we said some time ago here, and that is there is a time for preaching to the choir. The choir needs to hear the sermon too. I mean, you don't listen. Listen. If your church isn't speaking to you, then you're in the wrong church. If your church isn't preaching to the choir, you're in the wrong church. You know, all the lost people, they're not in the church. They're out there in the world. Okay? There is a time for preaching to the choir. That, I believe, is what Freedom Talks is about. Recognizing that we're not there to convert any liberals. You know, I didn't feel, I'm not a Republican, I didn't feel any attempt there to make me a Republican. And I think it's a great thing. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side with a little bit more, I don't even want to call it advice, because I'm in no position to give these learned men any advice about anything, but I just want to tell you where I think this thing probably is and certainly should be headed.
For 7 years I dwelt in the loose palace of exile, playing strange games with the girls of the island. Now I have come again to the land of the fair and the strong and the wise. Brothers and sisters of the pale forest, children of night, who among you will run with the hunt? Now night arrives with her purple legion. Retire now to your tents and to your dreams. Tomorrow we enter the town of my birth. I want to be ready.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You go fast and wrong for right and right for wrong. People understand for that for just
That's my recap of the meeting and what it was all about. I took copious notes, pages and pages and pages. I could go on and on about some of the specific things that were said, but you need to go to one of these meetings when it comes to your area. 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835, weigh in for me. Weigh in for these folks that put all the hard work into this, and I'm going to tell you right now, there was a lot of hard work put into this meeting that I went to this morning. This isn't just something where these guys just woke up one day and said, oh, next week let's go do this thing in Springfield. I want to say that one of the first things I think that needs to happen as these Freedom Talks move forward is that the whole show, the whole shebang, it needs to become more apparently an entity in and of itself, rather than an offshoot of some local meeting. I think that probably the crowd today was held down somewhat by the singleness of the sponsoring group. I believe that when Freedom Talks comes to your town, it ought to be Freedom Talks is coming to your town. It hadn't ought to be Freedom Talks is coming to the MRA or Freedom Talks is coming to the local Tea Party group or Freedom Talks is coming to the local. I believe that groups and this plays to the bring together rather than drive a wedge between that goes on here. I believe that groups in a location, in a region, and as MGC members, you know, this is part of what you need to be doing with your local groups. This is what Missouri Grassroots Coalition is all about, making local groups network, helping local groups network together. Even though they have some sometimes minute and sometimes almost chasmic differences, getting groups together. I believe that Freedom Talks needs to be sponsored in a region or in an area by multiple groups. Or Freedom Talks needs to just say, be ready to say, and I don't know what the cost factor would be involved in that. I don't know that MRA did or didn't pay these folks something to come, or whether these folks need to be paid something to come. But however it works, Freedom Talks may need to just be more independent, be more. Here's where we're going to be. Here's what we're going to do. I think the takeaway was somewhat restricted by the time nature. I think that a lot more time could be given to this. I think Freedom Talks itself needs to be about a 4 or 5 hour thing that people come to expecting a four. I had the feeling that people came there today expecting something along the lines of their usual 1 hour or 2 hour meeting. And were somewhat taken aback as the thing dragged on in their minds. In fact, I heard people say that, so it's not, I have the feeling of, I know it to be a fact. I think Freedom Talks needs to be understood to be an educational seminar, a profound presentation, that you should expect or look forward to even 4 or 5 hours worth, either all morning, either all afternoon, or maybe 10 o'clock in the morning with a break for lunch and a little socializing. certainly the last half of the formula, of the two-step formula, the part where the state of Missouri exercises its sovereignty in and as part of the cooperative of 50 states, needed a lot more attention. I felt like when we got past the – here's what it felt like, okay? There were two stars and a couple of co-stars. If we were going to a concert, see Sloan and Linton would have been the opening act. You know what I mean. They would have been the aside, the other attraction. And that there were two superstars there, and again, in God's name, don't believe that I am suggesting that Lemke and Kurtman aren't in and of their own right superstars. But what I'm saying is, if we are going to really talk about regaining liberty and freedom, if we are really going to talk seriously about restoring the founders' vision for America, the whole two-step process needs its rightful time. Sloan probably, when it comes to step two, part two of the grand architecture, should have been a main event. One of the main events. I believe that a main event should have been Lemke's talking about the founding principles. He needs to shy away a little bit from the Declaration of Independence as part of the founding documents. In my mind, I understand it's important. I don't downplay the importance of the Declaration of Independence, but it is not the founding document of the cooperative of the 50 states. He's got to sell a book. I get that too. But when it comes to regaining the Federation, when it comes to reestablishing federalism, Sloan was the center ring, and I feel like that that part two, that very important part two of the process, taking this now whole state, this state that Lemke and Kurtman have made whole again with their presentation, and putting it together with the other 49 to reestablish a cooperative Sloan was just, you know, that whole idea was kind of given a back burner. You've got to expand this program. You've got to make this a program in and of itself, after we finish reading the meetings and the treasurer's report here, we're going to have this presenter or this group of presenters. This thing is worthy of anybody's 4 or 5 hours. In and of itself, it ought to have a... Scholler was a great moderator. And it ought to have such a moderator. The other thing that needs to happen here, in my mind, again, two great speakers, three great speakers once Sloan gets his act together and gets his book printed, but you've got to let this moderator sell your books. You've got to completely sever yourself from any impression that you are there to campaign or to sell a book or to promote yourself. It's distracting. It has the potential of being a turnoff of it has the potential of shutting down some listeners, some learners, before you get a chance to teach them. Let the moderator sell the books. Let the moderator, when he introduces you, talk about your book, talk favorably about your book, suggest that your book is going to be on sale at the lunch break and after the program. Stay away from... I wrote this book and I'll be glad to give it to you for whatever you're willing to give me, even. Expand it. Include both of the two parts of the process, and you've got yourself a program there that could be absolutely great. All in all, Freedom Talks was a worthy use of my Saturday morning and early afternoon. I can't think of anything I would rather do on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning or a Thursday morning or any morning than go and hear someone inspire me about what it's going to take to make our state whole again, and through that sovereignty, once again, reestablish the federal government of, by, and for the 50 sovereign states. I'm going to quit for tonight. Nobody seems to want to chime in here. Nobody seems to want to say anything else. We could talk all night about this same thing over and over again. We could talk about all the things that we've talked about for the last 20 weeks, but we're not. It's Saturday. I've had a long day. I'm tired. I know damn well you are. So till next Friday night, this is Dave, and have a good one.
There are so many contradictions in all these messages we send. Keep asking, how do I get